Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Today we're going to continue to look at an episode that took place recorded in the book of Nehemiah, and that was the occasion of the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem, walls that had been destroyed when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had conquered southern Judah. The people that were there were carried into captivity, but under the Persians that had conquered the Babylonians, they were allowed to return home, but they were under distressful situations because the city was without defense. A city at that time without walls was easy prey for any kind of enemy that would come against it. And when Nehemiah heard about the distressful situation in Jerusalem, it grieved him. But as we noted, he decided to do something about it. And to do what he did is a most remarkable feat. Dear friend, he decided that he would go back and, under his leadership, persuade the people, if he could, to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. He first got himself thoroughly acquainted with what had to be done and how it could be done. And then he also enlisted men to follow him in accomplishing that task in the good plans that he had in his mind. Now, the essential ingredient in the story of their success was left now to the people. He put the proposal before the people. He said, "Come, let us build up the wall." But Nehemiah had won their hearts. They were motivated by their attitude. The question before them really was whether they cared enough to assume the work. Did it really matter to them whether the walls were up or not? Did they want the reproach to be removed? Would they do anything about it? Just what was their attitude toward this task? Now, until now, they were languishing in distress. Would they seize this opportunity Nehemiah was offering them? And their answer is one of the more thrilling responses of which we read in the Bible. When Nehemiah asked them to build, the people said, "Let us rise up and build." Now, it was important that they had this kind of attitude. They revealed what was their attitude. Nehemiah 4:6 says, "The people had a mind to work." Now, there it is. They were willing, they were able, they were ready to do the job. They sincerely wanted to get it done. They were convinced. They were convicted about this matter, and they had the disposition to do the task. Now, their answer reflected confidence in themselves. They had confidence in Nehemiah as their leader. They had confidence in the nobility of the task that they were assuming. They had confidence that the need must be met. But they had confidence in Almighty God whom they served. And they were optimistic, and they had hope. You notice, nobody said, "Why, that can't be done." Nobody whined, "Well, this is a good idea, but we better wait a while and see how things go." Nobody complained, "This is too big for us." Nobody argued against it. They didn't suggest, "Well, now, Nehemiah, you've got a good idea, and we wish you the best as you go about it." No, they said, "Let us rise up and build." They were going to cooperate in getting this done. The old adage prevailed that would persuade, "Can't never could, but can." And they had the attitude that they could do it. And everyone keenly felt a personal responsibility in this matter. Each one of them had a willingness to do his or her part. And together, they knew they could do what was needed. And this was their attitude toward the work and their response to the opportunity. Oh, friend, if we can learn that such an attitude and response is essential in building up the church of the Lord, in carrying out labor for the Lord. Now we must remember that not everyone in the vicinity was in sympathy with the rebuilding of the wall of Jerusalem. You see, the Jews had their enemies, and there were those who enjoyed their weaknesses. So there was opposition, there were hindrances thrown in their path as they proceeded with the work. From time to time, the opponents heard about the intent that they were going to rebuild these walls. Why, they would do everything that they could to prevent it from being accomplished. They sent a letter to the Persian king accusing Nehemiah, trying to raise a rebellion against the king. Set himself up as a king. Well, that effort failed. They tried to discourage the workers with ridicule. They said, why, a fox come and lean against this wall, it'll fall down. They tried to stall the works and slow down the progress by urging Nehemiah to stop the work. And let's talk about it. Let's negotiate. Let's come down some way or another to the plain of Ono, and let's see what we can come together in agreement. But they wanted to stop the work. But every effort they made, they failed. There was a plot made to kill Nehemiah, especially if he had accepted their invitation to come to the plain of Ono to talk. Nehemiah's answer to that ploy was simply, "Oh, no." He told them he was doing a good work. He didn't have time to mouth with those who opposed it. He was unwilling to compromise anything. And even though the enemies waged even physical destruction against the work, they forced the Jews to labor during the day and stand guard during the night. It's almost as if they were building with one hand and protecting their work with the other. But night and day, without even so much as changing clothes, they stayed on the job. And what was the result? The Bible says the wall went up. Now that's what mattered. In 52 days they were able to complete this wall. And that was an accomplishment that was once considered beyond reach. They proved they could do it by doing it. Now their efforts were constantly coupled with repeated prayer. We read of prayer repeatedly during this whole process. And this showed on whom they really relied. This showed the combination of their own efforts, and this showed their humility and their dependence on God. It was one of the most man and God cooperations you read in the Bible. And there was splendid cooperation between the leaders and the followers. Workmanship won the day. This result was success. Friend, let us realize that tremendous measures of success was enjoyed almost from the beginning because the people had a mind to work. Now, the principles utilized in the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem, they're rather obvious, are they not? These principles are useful and applicable to us in the upbuilding of the Lord's church in our own day, in the midst of a world of sinful darkness. We must recognize the need. We must get the facts. We must make the plans. There must be leadership. There must be many followers. There has to be workmanship and cooperation. It has to be coupled with prayer. There is to be devotion and dedication and determination. These great and vital ingredients are indispensable in doing the Father's business. There must be, however, this positive attitude with a relentless persistence, even against those who would resist. And this attitude must be demonstrated in the things that we actually do. We can accomplish the task that God has set before us if we have the mind to work like those people did in the rebuilding of the wall of Jerusalem. You know, I'm thinking about each congregation. Each congregation has needs. And what if every member of the congregation keenly sensed his or personal responsibility toward the work, like these people did in the rebuilding of the wall? There are lost souls all around us. Do we not have a cause? You know, David one time asked when he was going up to fight Goliath, and his brother criticized him for questioning the situation. David said, "Is there not a cause?" Dear friend, Christian friend, do we not have a cause? The spreading of the gospel, that's the primary work of the Lord's church with respect to this sinful world. Helping one another get to heaven, helping others to reach heaven, getting to heaven, that's the eventual goal of every Christian. And part of that work is reaching out to others. A successful work cannot be done by what we sometimes call the faithful few. How much better it is for a congregation to have the faithful many. Is it not profitable for each individual to be among the number that will work? Now, most congregations have the manpower to get the task done, at least to be productive. Various plans and programs that have proved scriptural and effective are available. The major program is to preach the word, without which there can be no salvation, because salvation is preached by the word. There is the desperate need for brothers and sisters in Christ to be involved and to realize a personal duty to the Lord, a duty to the church, and to the lost. Those who just will not work, refuse to cooperate, who choose to hinder and drag rather than help, they ought never be allowed to stifle the efforts of those who care enough to be about the Father's business. Those of us living today can give a sincere thanks for the work that has been done in the past. You know, whatever efforts we make, we'll make them standing on the shoulders of those who have gone before us. And while we respect and commend the past, we must consider the present and we must look to the future. Someday our own time will be considered the past. Will those of the future be able to look upon our time with thanksgiving because we assumed and discharged our duty faithfully? We look back upon the work of Nehemiah and the work of the Jews at this particular time. Does it not come down to this question? Can God count on me? Can God count on you? The welfare of the church, the salvation of souls, and that would include our own, is dependent upon how we respond to the question of whether we will cooperate and work and get the job done. And it must be done according to "Thus saith the Lord." It can't be done following the doctrines of men, the ways that men have invented, the ways that men have perverted the gospel, establishing their own creeds and their own clergy and their own churches. Our first step is to enlist in the Lord's work by becoming a Christian and then rising with others and going to the glorious work that He has assigned us. And I might say, work that He expects of us. And we begin by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, repenting of our sins and confessing our faith in Christ, being baptized into Christ, and raised to walk in newness of life. Let us indeed say, let us rise up and build. Let us have the mind to work in building up the Lord's church. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.